The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Glad you can be with us. Another gorgeous summer afternoon. And man, I'm very excited. Yeah, I've had the pleasure to talk to a lot of notable people. Coming up at 12:30 this afternoon, and for a full half hour, comedy icon, legend, John Cleese is going to join us. And I'm excited about this because he is directly connected to something that literally changed my life. So I'm going to get a chance to say thank you to him. But John Cleese from Monty Python. And I wasn't a huge Monty Python fan, but he's 80 years old now and still just sharp as can be and as funny as can be. And so we will do that because on a beautiful summer day, we need a little break from the madness. Oh, don't worry. I have plenty of madness between now and then to talk about. But John Cleese will join us coming up at 12:30 this afternoon. And he's going to be with us for the full half hour as well from London. So very excited about that. Okay. And with that is mere prelude. Now we got to get to the madness for a little bit. Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
We are seeing some really scary times in America and for individuality in America. That's been kind of my mantra throughout my lifetime, is about the merits of not engaging in groupthink, not just taking the easy way and going along with the crowd. Not just doing what you think are going to get nods of approval from everybody around you, but by forming independent thoughts. And we now have some compelling evidence this afternoon that in America and in Western Washington in particular, that freedom of thought is getting violently squelched. Let me start with a national poll that is out today. 62% of Americans, in a poll just released by the Cato Institute, 62% of Americans say they have political views they are afraid to share. There is only one group politically that say they feel free to share their political beliefs in public. And that's people who self-identified as strong liberals. Strong liberals, 58% of them say they can say what they believe. But everybody else on the political spectrum says they are afraid to say what they truly believe because groupthink is being mandated in a variety of ways through violence and rioting and taking protests to the homes of people who don't vote the way politicians who don't vote the way the mob thinks they should. It's probably happened to you in the workplace if you are not a far left person, where you are afraid to express views. And here in, let's move this to Western Washington now, where violence is the means through which to silence everybody except the radical far left. Yesterday afternoon, Carmen Best and Jenny Durkin held a press conference about Saturday's rioting in Seattle. The photos they shared and the things they said should send chills up the spine of everybody throughout our region. Because they say there was a van at the Saturday riot where they recovered IEDs, improvised explosive devices, improvised spike strips that very possibly could have been used to stop police cars responding to the violence and the arsons. They found bear spray. And they say that the person in this van was passing all of these things out to the rioters on Saturday. And that's because what we have seen is growing violence in attempt to hijack our region, to defund the police, to overturn capitalism, all stated goals of the mob. They go out. There's another one last night where, again, the vulgar, vile chants of bleep the police and all cops are B words. I mean, words I could never say on the radio echo through the streets of our entire region, in Olympia, in Bellingham, everywhere in our region. Vulgar, vile. Words echo through the streets, all again designed to intimidate, to threaten people who don't go along with the mob groupthink. I'll give you two examples. Two of the nine Seattle City Council members decided to be somewhat commonsensical and vote against cutting the police in Seattle by 50%. So what's happened to those two city council members? Well, the mob has gone to their homes. And you know that I've always been against that. But it's the far left, the radicals, eating their own. They're going to the homes. They are spray painting and writing vile graffiti on the homes of the two Seattle city council members. And why? Because they simply voted their conscience and were the only two who recognized that cutting the police by 50% in an increasingly mob violent time will be disastrous for Seattle and for our region. Because again, whatever happens in Seattle spreads virulently throughout Western Washington. And so, if you're a politician who votes your conscience on an issue, the mob will come and they will, if these politicians have children, they will go to the homes. They will try to threaten, intimidate, destroy. And that's what we're seeing on the streets with all of the violence. So at the press conference yesterday, Jenny Durkin and Carmen Best, as they talked about the weapons that were being passed out, again, they smashed a Starbucks, they set an arson fire at the juvenile detention construction site that did hundreds and hundreds of thousands, it may be over $1 million worth of damage. And it is the mob taking over our region and controlling people's thought by sheer force. Here's Carmen Best.
Peaceful protesters do not show up with a van full of bear spray, stun guns, spike strips, and explosives.
And the bomb squad was at this press conference as well.
Caused by these pyrotechnic explosives that they are taping together, taping the fuses together, and increasing the amount of explosion fourfold easily.
So IEDs are being passed around. One was used against a cop at the rioting a week and a half ago now, sending that cop to the hospital. That was the one just last Saturday. I corrected myself there. But the IEDs are being used against our police. City council members' homes are being attacked if they say we can't cut the police budget by 50%. And so all of these other seven council members, even though there's a petition, stopdefunding.com, a petition that now has tens of thousands of signatures from law-abiding, tax-paying citizens saying we can't cut the police by 50% because the mob, if you show any weakness to any mob, to any thugs, it emboldens them and it just makes them plot. So what are we going to take over next by force? And I know what the next target's going to be. And I'll go into this, I think I'll do it tomorrow. But the next target of the mob is going to be your child's school. There is little doubt about that. Because again, when you show this level of weakness to bullies, it only emboldens them. It makes things much, much worse. Jenny Durkin, also at the press conference yesterday.
But they train and practice on what they call de-arrest, so that if an individual is arrested by the police, a number of people will swarm and try to pull that person away from them.
And former King County Sheriff and Congressman Dave Reichert, he says the blame, he told Q13, the blame is on the politicians who refuse to uphold our Constitution.
The mayor, the governor, our county prosecutor in King County, they all took that oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. They aren't doing that.
But they're afraid. The mob is winning. As I said, when 62% of Americans say that they cannot share their political views, because, as I said, if you've done that in the workplace, unless you are part of the mandated groupthink, you've seen the repercussions that come down. Maybe it's happened to you at the grocery store. Nationally, we certainly have seen just this week what's been happening. I played for you a couple days ago a caller to C-SPAN, the august neutral TV network that shows the inner workings of our government. A caller to C-SPAN said that if feds came to Milwaukee, that the radical left mob will shoot and kill them.
This morning, a Trump supporter was killed, was shot and killed in a drive-by in Milwaukee. I don't know if you got that news, but the people in Milwaukee are waiting for those troops to come in because they got weapons, and it's going to be a lot of bloodshed when they come. So that's all I got to say.
What's that supposed to mean? So now you have people on your air threatening our lives? Is that what it is, Jesse?
Let's keep going to Chris, who's calling from Oceanside.
He just had a caller call in and said that they're going, that shooting Trump supporters is right. I mean, anybody who's a Democrat or independent should listen to what that gentleman just said and realize where the Democrats are in this country. They're threatening our lives.
That's not Fox News, some right-wing show. That's C-SPAN, where callers are threatening to murder people and seemingly celebrating the murder of a man. And by the way, the man murdered in Milwaukee, a 60-year-old African-American man who would be out on the street expressing his support for the president. WTMJ in Milwaukee.
Brunell Tramiel ran Expressions Journal. He was also a strong protester within the community. Police say he was shot and killed outside of his publication just a few days ago.
Just murdered, broad daylight, morning time. Because the mob is coming after everybody who doesn't think the way they are mandating. And I'm curious, I want to go through your messages to our opening monologue today. Text me. Let me know. Do you feel free to express your thought? Clearly, I do. I refuse to bow to the mob. I refuse. I'm not bending my worldview to appease. I cannot. Nor should you. But text me. Let me know if you are being threatened by the groupthink. 98973 is the number to call. That's 98973. That is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Did I say call that number? No, don't call it. Try it out loud. You text it. You can't call a five-digit number. 98973. Shoot me a text. Let me know your thoughts on our opening comments today. Okay, like I said, enough of the craziness. I'm really thrilled. Comedy icon, John Cleese. He is going to join us for the full half hour from London, coming up next on The Dory Monson Show. What a cool part of my job that I get to talk to genuine legends. John Cleese, he's got a live stream event. I'll tell you more about it in the interview here coming up on Sunday. But I had a chance to talk to him. He's in London, so we had to record this before the show. And I wanted you to hear just right off the bat, because the publicist we went through, you'll hear her voice at the beginning of the call. John seems to be kind of enthralled with Nicole, who was also on the Zoom. And here's how things started as I talked to John Cleese today.
John, this is Dory, who's going to be interviewing you, and his producer, Nicole, and they're calling from Seattle.
Which one is Dory?
Unbelievably, John, it's the man who has the name Dory.
Can I be interviewed by that rather beautiful blonde?
Yeah, no, Nicole is a wonderful human being as well, John.
Well, I've never come across anyone called Dory before. I've heard of Dorian Gray.
Right.
Right. Very awesome. But, Dory doesn't, I assumed it was a girly.
Yes.
So sorry.
No. That's what people have been assuming my whole life. Should I officially start the interview by welcoming to the show the legend, John Cleese from London? John, what an honor to have you on.
Anymore. I've been promoted. I'm a comic icon.
You are.
And Sean Friday.
I need to start, John, by telling you that you literally changed my life. And I want to thank you for that.
Well, that's sweet of you. That's a very nice thing to say. You'd be surprised at how many very old people like you say things like that. The men say, thank you for making me laugh. The women say something much more like what you said, was that they say something like, thank you for helping me to form my sense of humor. And I think they're both huge compliments, and I'm very touched by them.
Well, you actually informed my career, because my first performance in my life at my high school, I was 14 years old, and I earned the lead in the argument clinic. And it got huge laughs. We sold out 400 seats, two straight nights. And it got such huge laughs, John. I think that was the seed of me wanting to be a performer to this day. And I owe that to you, sir.
What a wonderful story. But I have to admit, I'm rather impressed you could remember it at the age of 14. Because it's not easy to remember that sketch. You know, we all know that if you tell a story at a party, or just a dinner party, and everyone laughs, it's a very satisfactory transaction. You feel good, they feel good. It's good to laugh, you know.
It is.
And once you've been out there and got real big laughs, I don't think there's many things that are better than possibly sex. But that's when you're younger.
Right, yeah. That doesn't mean anything to us anymore, right? I should tell people that the reason John Cleese is on is because he's doing a worldwide live stream event this Sunday called Why There Is No Hope, and you can get tickets for that at johncleese-uniquelives.com. So, John, why is there no hope?
Well, there's no hope that we will ever live in a sensible, intelligent, kind, well-organized society. Okay. It just isn't going to happen. But that doesn't mean that we can't live happy, joyful, fulfilling lives within that context. But I don't know if you know the Serenity Prayer, which is the sort of motto of the Alcoholics Anonymous. Sure. You know it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, if you, God give us the courage to change things we can change, and the patience to put up with things we can't change, and the wisdom to tell the difference. And that's lovely. And all I'm saying is there's a lot we can't change, mainly because as you look around the world, you see that very rich and powerful people are in charge, and most of them are not going to say all of them, but a very high percentage. And it's almost an entirely male business. I'm almost all male. There is one female.
Well, I've heard you talk about a couple of your ex-wives in that context, haven't I? I heard you.
Well, yeah, well, the one who skinned me for 20 minutes, 20 million. I mean, that she was. she was a real. So there's two female. Okay. But the other 99.99% are males who have more money than they can ever spend but still want more. Mm-hmm. And who want power for the sole purpose of hanging on to it. I mean, once people have power, the only thing they want is not to lose the power. Why is that? Because they want to be able to control people. Why is that? Normally because they can't control their own emotions, so they have to control other people. I wrote a couple of books with a psychiatrist, and he said to me, if you can't control your own emotions, you have to control other people's behavior. And I think that is a deeply, deeply helpful way of looking at this.
When you talk about that there's no hope, I would think that that would actually be a boon for a comedian like yourself, because I've heard you talk about kind of the root of all comedy is stupidity, and that's something you feed off of.
Stupidity and ego. You're quite right. I mean, there's real. I mean, in 2016, when that tape came to light in which Trump was talking to Billy Bush, was it?
Yeah.
Remember the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, on the bus. Yeah.
Explaining that if you were a celebrity, then women were expecting you to. A Trump-supporting woman was asked about that tape, and she said he would never have said that if he'd known he was being recorded. Now, I think that's the funniest thing that has been said in the last 5 years. it's so profoundly stupid. There's something about something that is bottomlessly stupid that is funny, even if it's a Monty Python sketch, like the fish-slapping dance, which is hilarious. And if somebody was given an essay on what it means.
Of course.
So the very stupidest things. But I mean, basically, humor is about things going wrong and not going right. And it's also about the fact that if somebody is really kind, intelligent, sympathetic, generous, they're not going to be funny. There's nothing funny about perfect people. It's all, what's funny is foibles.
That's funny.
And we love jokes that point up foibles. And the nicest jokes are the ones that are very inclusive. I mean, the most inclusive joke is, how do you make God laugh? You know this.
I don't.
You tell him your plans.
Oh, right. That's right.
Now, that's a very inclusive joke. It's not, you know, whereas if you tell a nasty joke about a person or a specific group, that's very exclusive. That's excluding them. You see what I mean?
Yes.
And that's what's ultimately painful and frightening. So what the politically correct people don't understand is that you can be, there's two ways of teasing people. You can tease them affectionately and you can tease them nastily. And we should never tease people nastily. because it hurts their feelings and makes them feel terrible. So don't do that. At the same time, you can tease people affectionately. If you think of being in a dressing room of any sport, men or women, they're all teasing each other.
Sure.
And the bonding mechanism, it's affection. The trouble of the politically correct people is that they have no sense of humor. And if I wish I could get in a debate with somebody who thinks of himself or herself as woke, because my first question would be, please tell me a woke joke.
Yeah, you're going to be hard pressed to get that. Well, and that's what I wanted to talk with you about, that because cancel culture has become so prevalent, and comedians, you know, I consider Jerry Seinfeld to be just a student of comedy. He won't even talk at colleges anymore.
He told me personally not to do it. He said it's just too difficult and my feeling is that they're sitting there patiently, no, not really patiently, impatiently waiting to be offended. That's when their evening starts.
What a sad way to live a life, isn't that?
It's a terribly sad way. It's because they don't feel good about themselves. And so what they have to do is to find someone else and point a finger at them and say, you are a bad person. That makes them feel a bit better for a short time. It's very simple. It gives them this warm glow of self-satisfaction. Look what a wonderful person I am. Usually because they're not actually protesting on their own behalf. They're protesting on other people's behalf who can't be bothered to protest. Largely, they're not particularly offended anyway.
It just strikes me that it's people who have a void in their life. And, you know, you as a comedian, you make fun of our foibles. Now we have people who have a void in their life. Instead of filling it with something productive, they just try to tear other people down.
That's right. And it's because they feel bad about themselves. Yeah. Nasty people are nasty about other people because momentarily there's a feeling of superiority. And the answer is we should just pay no attention to them. But I would love to debate them. I would love to say to a woke person, please tell me a woke joke, because what would they say? It would be like having a sitcom about a functional family.
That's right.
It would be heartwarming but unfunny.
John Cleese, he's got a live show coming up on Sunday. Why There Is No Hope. Tickets at johncleese-uniquelives.com. And he was gracious enough to spend the whole half hour with me. So quick time out, and then more of my conversation with John Cleese next on the Dory Monson Show. John Cleese is going to do a worldwide live stream from London this Sunday. Title of it is Why There Is No Hope. Tickets at johncleese-uniquelives.com. And before I went on the air, I got a chance to talk to him from London. Here's a little bit more of my conversation with John Cleese. You're 80 years old. Obviously, you are still just as sharp as can be. Would you?
I'm astonishing, really.
It's breathtaking.
I'm a national institution. You accuse me of being a legend. You know, I'm a comedy icon at a national institution.
Would you just share with my listeners a story about your mom who lived to be 101? Because I've heard you tell stories about her that I just adored. Would you share just one with my listeners?
I can tell you lots of stories, so I'll keep going until you shut me up. I mean, the first thing about her was that she's the only person I've ever met who used to write her worries down in case she would forget one. She used to greet me when I went down to see her with a cup of coffee and a list. And we would sit down, I'd drink the coffee, and we would go through her list of worries. And we'd sit there maybe for two and a half, and just discussing them. And then if we didn't get through the whole list, we'd start again at breakfast. And it helped her. Not that anything I said helped, but just the connection with me. But she lived to 101. She was enormously self-centered. She wasn't really interested in anything more than about 6 feet away from her, with the result that she was starkly ignorant. She asked me once who I mentioned Mary Queen of Scots, and she said, "Oh, I've heard that name before. What was she?" I said, "Well, she was a Scottish darts player who was killed in the Blitz." And she said, "Oh, how sad." I had no idea. You know, my wife at that time, she made a salad using those stupid little plovers eggs that were about that big, you know. Uh-huh. And my mother said, "What are these eggs?" And I said, "Well, they're a mole's eggs." And she said, "Moles?" I said, "Yes, Alice Faye goes up onto Hampstead Heath whenever there's a full moon because the moles come to the mouth of their burrows and lay their eggs."
No information.
But the funniest thing was she had a very black sense of humor. And when she was depressed, I once discovered I could use that to cheer her up, because she was literally telling me that she didn't want to go on living because she was so old and all her friends had died. She said, lived 101. And I said to her mother, "Well, look, I have a suggestion." She said, "What?" I said, "Well, I know a little man in Fulham, and if you're still feeling this way next week that you want to go on living, I could give him a call and he could come down to the old folks' home and kill you." Startled silence. Then she laughed. And from then on, I was able to cheer her up whenever she said how miserable she was. I would say, "Well, should I call the little man in Fulham?" And she said, "Oh, no, I've got a sherry party on Friday. I don't want to miss that." And it was very interesting. I could get her out of her depression by using this very blessing.
The threat of murder was what got her out of her depression.
That's right.
Nice. Well, John, I've taken so much of your time. It's just really an honor. And like I said, I've waited a long time to tell you this, but you've literally impacted my life. And I really
think
mean that.
Really lovely.
Yeah, really lovely.
And so when I come to Seattle to do a show,
yes,
send a message and we will have a drink afterwards or a curry.
We will do that. We will do that. Yes, you can drink with a man named Dory. How about that? I like it. John Cleese.
Your blonde keeper will allow it.
That's right.
Lovely smile.
Well, John Cleese, the live stream is this Sunday.
That's my name, right, will you? My family name was Cheese.
Yes.
You know that.
I do know that.
Well, then it's not Cleese, it's Cleese.
Cleese, I'm sorry.
Supermarket, you don't buy cheddar cheese,
right,
do you?
If you can change an H to an L from cheese to, I figure you could do anything with the pronunciation, John.
Well, you have my mother on your side. She always called us Cleese.
Okay, well, I will.
Can't get your mother and father to agree on the pronunciation of the family name.
There you go. Okay, let me get this right. John Cleese, his worldwide live stream is this Sunday, called Why There Is No Hope. Every one of you should go see the legend.
And, comedy icon.
The comedy icon. And you get tickets by going to John Cleese. -uniquelives.com. John, what a pleasure. What an honor. Great having you.
My keeper is happy. That was great fun, Dory. You should have been. Bye bye, beautiful. Where are you, Dory?
Oh, okay. All right. Take care, John. Thank you. I'm telling you, he was smitten with Nicole, who he called my blonde handler. Oh, I'll have to talk to her about that in the Fastest 15. That and much more as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.